The special favor of Allah.
আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রব্বুল আলামিন والصلاه والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to our special series of programs yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we look into our rich heritage, we look at our past, we look at our pious predecessors, and we try to learn something from their lives so that we can make a change today and have a better tomorrow. Hence, let's look at yesterday, make a change today, and have a better tomorrow. There's only one personality that we're going to talk about, and that is the greatest personality, the greatest creation, the reason why we are all here, the mercy to all the worlds, the final messenger, none other than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And in previous episodes, we covered other aspects of his life. And inshallah, today, we're going to cover the aspect of the fact that how we as Muslims need to be obedient to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm hoping that we'll learn something today, and I'm hoping that as a result of this program, we'll be encouraged to follow the commands, the sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should make a habit of reciting salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this particular one, normally I try to give you an easy one. And normally to say 3 times, 10 times, 100 times. Today is a little bit more difficult. But if you see the rewards, then inshallah, I'm hoping that that will encourage you. And again, it's not going to take a long time. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that whoever recites salat upon me 1,000 times a day. Now, before I finish this, 1,000 times a day, how long is that going to take? 1,000 times seems like a lot, doesn't it? If you recite Durood e Pak 1,000 times, it will know 15 minutes, 20 minutes, max half an hour, 1,000 times. 1,000 times, and what is the reward for reciting salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1,000 times a day? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever recites salat upon me 1,000 times a day, he will not die until he has seen his place in paradise. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You'll be able to see your place in paradise, inshallah, as you'll have a dream. You'll see paradise and you'll see your place in paradise if you make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1,000 times. So please make a habit. We've said it many, many times before, that during our lives we have time that we waste. We waste a lot of time. And that our time should never be wasted, because we don't know how long we've got. You know, we hear of death surrounds us all the time. We hear of many, many people passing away. And we do not know how long we've got. So we should utilize that time to the best of our ability. And one of the best things that we can do with our time is to send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, it is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a person wearing a gold ring. Removing that ring, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw it away and said to him, "Does anyone among you want to keep a red hot coal of fire in his hand?" After the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, people said to that person, "Go and pick up that ring and benefit from it by selling it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is forbidding you from wearing it, but he's not forbidding you from selling it. So go and pick up that ring and sell it. Go and pick up that ring and give it to somebody. Go and pick up that ring and basically benefit from him." And he replied, "No." When the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thrown it away, "Then by Allah azza wa jal, I will never pick it up." Allahu Akbar. This is a show of love. This is a show of obedience. This is showing that how the companions felt with regards to the words of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the passion that they had for him. That whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked something, they would dislike it. Whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked something, they would like it. So this is not just about obedience. This is about passion in following. Following the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can see that this is how they did. And so as Muslims, we need to learn to be obedient to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what does obedience mean? I'm not going to say to you that all of you throw your rings away. No, being obedient means obeying orders. Indeed, every Muslim viewers of Mother Channel should be obedient to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should also try and follow in the footsteps of the blessed companions and see how they did it. We shall refrain from them things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbidden from us. And we shall perform those activities that he has commanded us to do. Because obedience to Allah azza wa jal and his Rasul, obedience to Allah azza wa jal and his Rasul and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is wajib upon us. It is compulsory upon the Muslims. It is stated in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anfal, part 9, ayat number 1. Allah azza wa jal says, and I'll give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, and obey Allah and his messenger if you believe. Renowned commentator of the Holy Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yarqahnimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that the difference between the obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla and his Rasul is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is obeyed only his commandments, not in his acts. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be obeyed in three different things. He will be obeyed in three different things. Number one, the acts that were performed by him. The acts that were performed by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, in his mentioned blessed sayings, whatever he has told us to do in his sayings, then again, they are things that we will obey. And thirdly, that act which was performed, listen to this, viewers of Mother Channel, that act that was performed in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forbid it. If a companion did something in front of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the fact that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do it, then that gives us permission to be able to perform that same act. Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't forbid it. In this example that we give in there, that person, he had the gold ring on. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid it. It's not as if he himself was wearing the ring or he himself took the ring off and threw it. No, he forbid somebody else from doing it. In the same way that because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbidden somebody else, then that is also forbidden for us as well. And so, that is to say, the Mufti Ahmad Al-Khanimi goes on to say, he says, that is to say, that whatever the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, we must agree to it. Whatever the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has performed himself should also be followed. And whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw someone do, but do not forbid them from doing it, should also be followed. This is showing obedience. He further states, he goes on to say, that it should not be derived from the commandment of obeying the beloved Rasul, that if the beloved Rasul is not obeyed, listen to this, a very important point, and I'm going to read it again. He says, it should not be derived that from the commandment of obeying the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not obeyed, then he, i.e. the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will suffer a loss. No, he has fulfilled his glorious duty of matchless preaching with a great perfection. Now the consequence for not following or not obeying the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be upon us. So if sometimes you get this shaitanic whisper in our mind that if we do not obey, if we do not follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it will affect his status. No, without a doubt, it will not affect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's status. One iota, one mustard seed will not, nothing will affect it. However, if we do not follow, if we do not obey, if we do not prohibit those things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to stay away from, if we do not stay away from them things, then the person that will be at loss is us. We are the people that will be at loss. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a perfect guide, a perfect role model for us, a perfect teacher for us, to guide us and instruct us how to live our life. Now, if a teacher, an example, a teacher teaches us something, and if you do not act upon that teaching, it doesn't affect the teacher. Yes, maybe the teacher might be upset that my students have not listened to me. My students have not followed, implemented what I've instructed them to do. But it will not affect the teacher. It will affect you as an individual, that you have not benefited from your teacher. And our teacher, our guide, our ideal role model for 1400 years ago, our ideal role model for today, our ideal model for tomorrow until the day of judgment is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us to do, even though sometimes what happens is Sometimes our logic cannot understand the instruction. Why? Why should I be doing this? I can't understand why I should be doing that. It doesn't matter. Our job is to obey. Our job is to follow. Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us, obey Allah and obey His Rasul. Now, someone that follows, someone that obeys, doesn't ask how, what, where, why, when. And unfortunately, nowadays, the Muslims are falling into that trap. They're falling into the trap of the commands of Allah. How, why, what, where, why. We're falling into the commands of when we question, na'uz billah, the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the benefit of the people will say? What is the benefit of doing this? What is the benefit of doing that? What is the benefit of following the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, you look at the lovers, the people that love. A person that loves someone, they don't ask them why. They don't ask them why. If a person truly loves someone and that person says, do this, they don't ask why. You know, in this dunya you will say this. In this dunya, if you say that this person lifts this person, because whatever this person says, he does it. Yeah. If a person, someone that you love, told you to do something, and you will not think twice because you truly love that person, you will follow whatever they say and listen to whatever they say. In the same way that if we truly love, now this is the question, do we truly love? If we truly love, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in Sahih Bukhari Sharif that our iman is not complete. Our iman is not complete until we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything else. So until that time, our iman is not complete. So we need to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the problem. If we are not obeying, if we are not following the teachings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the letter literally, then it is because we don't love him. We don't love him to that extent that we question. And we see the companions, they never questioned. Whenever they found out that it was a sunnah, they followed it. Whenever they found out that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something, they did it. And many companions, many pious predecessors, when they came across a saying of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in it was told that this is an act, this is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of a sudden, they changed their ways. If they found out that they were used to doing something one way, and all of a sudden they found out that I've just read hadith in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it this way, they would immediately stop doing that way and start doing it that way. Why? Because that is the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is obedience. That is love. And so this obedience and love, it follows hand in hand. You will have obedience when you have love. And so we need to develop that love in us. We have the milad gatherings in our houses. We have the mahfils that we go and attend. We listen to the naats, we listen to the stories, we listen to the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these things, why are they there? To increase that love in our hearts. To increase that love inside us, to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then when we love, inshaAllah azza wa jal, we'll be obedient. And inshaAllah azza wa jal, we will follow. So it's something very important that we need to get in our minds, that we need to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and only then will be obedient to him. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, Surah Al-Azab, Ayat 21. I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. Indeed for you, following the Messenger of Allah is best. In the Tafsir book Nur al-Ifan, regarding this blessed ayat, renowned commentator of the Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated, we come to know that the blessed life of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a blessed role model for all humans, leaving no field of life. And it could also mean that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the blessed life of the noblest Rasul the model of his power. A craftsman applies all his skills on the sample. It has become obvious to us that a successful life is the one which is spent in following his footsteps. If we die, sleep, and awaken by acting upon the guiding principles of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then all of these acts will become the acts of worship. Yes, viewers of my channel, if you follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you follow his acts, then all of these become an act of worship. What have I done? I've not had to break stones or lift 30, 40 kilos or 100 kilos or push a car, pull a car. I've not had to do anything. And trust me, viewers of my channel, we have this mindset that, you know, following the sunnah is hard. Following the sunnah is so hard. People have this mindset, but it's not. It's so easy. You know, someone just recently, they made the intention to grow the blessed beard. And I went to see him to congratulate them. And he's there, scratching himself. And I said, what's the matter? Oh, brother, it's so hard. I'm constantly scratching myself. I said, brother, it will get easy. I can remember that when I first grew the beard, I was scratching, but alhamdulillah, it gets easy. So yes, there might be in certain things, in getting a change in your lifestyle, change of your habit. When you change any habit, it is a little bit difficult. You know, for example, it is sunnah to eat sitting on the floor. Now you may be used to eat sitting on a dining table. Now sitting on the floor may be difficult, may be hard, but if you do it gradually, it'll become easier for you. And when it becomes easier for you, then you will not find any difficulty. And even then, when it's difficult or when it's easy, you'll get the reward. So again, it's this mindset that we need to change and be obedient to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to go to one of the packages, and then inshallah, azza wa jalla, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Let's go to the package. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
My dear Islam brothers, the Mawlid of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, it comes, it arrives, and Ashikana Rasul, lovers and devotees of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, all around the world, they rejoice, they make happiness, they show their joy on the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They express their love and devotion towards the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But my dear Islam brothers, my question to you is, what next? Throughout the month of Rabiul Awwal, throughout the period of celebrating and remembering the Mawlid of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we may have done many good actions. But now as the month of Rabiul Awwal comes to an end, do we leave all of these good actions? Certainly not. That is not the way of someone who is devoted towards the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Our devotion, our love for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, it is not bound for the month of Rabiul Awwal. Rather, every single moment of our life is in love and in devotion towards the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What are we to do next? After the Mawlid, after Rabiul Awwal, what are we to carry on? Now, the events that we learnt about from the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, from the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we are to implement that into our lives, insha'Allah ta'ala. We learnt about the character of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Let's take the character of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and implement it in our life. We heard that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was given the title of As-Siddiq, the truthful one. Should we not also become truthful? Are our statements still going to be statements that are deceiving people and are on fraud? Are we going to be still lying in our statements? When we claim our love for the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who was given the title of As-Siddiq, the truthful one, what are we going to do? Are our actions going to speak louder than our words? Or is it just lip service? Or is everything that we have done just something that is on our lips? All of this marhaba ya Mustafa nari that we have done, this is just on our lips. Or has it brought about action into our lives as well? Definitely, without any shadow of a doubt, we need to make sure that this Mawlid, this season of Rabiul Awwal, this brought about good change in our life. Brought about such a change that will impact us in this world to such an extent that you'll feel and you'll see that impact in the hereafter as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he has stated very beautifully a very famous hadith that we hear very regularly in the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who loves my sunnah, he loves me. And the one who loves me will be with me in Jannah, in paradise. Do we not want to be with the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala wasallam in Jannah? Definitely, every single ummati, every single follower of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam wants to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in Jannah. May Allah accept this in our favor as well as in yours as well. But how are we to gain this company of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam said, the one who loves my sunnah, he loves me, and the one who loves me will be with me in paradise. Do we love the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? We may say we love the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, but do our actions show that we love the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Without a shadow of a doubt, if we truly love the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then we will implement this sunnah in our life as well. We will want to implement the way of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as much as possible in our lifestyle. Whenever we hear a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we should be eager to implement that sunnah, to act upon that sunnah. of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Do we not remember the account of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an? When he was traveling and he come to a certain station and he just ducked down. And the companions were asking that, why are you ducking down? What's the reason for this? He states that once I was passing by the same place and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was on his ride and he ducked down because there was a branch from a tree that was slightly out. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can pass by, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ducked down. And today I'm at that same station, so I have also ducked down. This is the love the Sahaba had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, unfortunately, in our societies, what we find is a statement that is coming out. It is only a sunnah. Unfortunately, when you speak to people in the society, when you discuss with individuals in the society, they turn around and they say to you, you say to them that do this, this is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They turn around and they'll say to you, it is only a sunnah. It is not fard, it is not wajib, it's not necessary for me to do it. It is only a sunnah. So this is something very, very important for us to take back, and that is that we implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in our life. We implement the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in our lives. And then truly, will we be able to gain the true blessings of the mawlid of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. May Allah allow us to implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam into our lifetime.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Viewers on the channel, again, a beautiful package there telling us, explaining to us how important it is to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and also giving examples of those lovers, of those companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So I think it's very important for us, viewers on the channel, to become aware of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now we all know that when we enter that dark and lonely grave, then the third question in the grave will be that you will be shown the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will be taught, you will be questioned, you will be asked, what did you say about this person? What did you know about this person? What do we know about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know, all the people that are watching this program now, if I was to say to you that, what do you know about your mother? What do you know about your father? Many of you could talk for maybe an hour or so, that my father did this, my father did that, my father showed me compassion, my father showed me love, my father did this for this, my mother did this for me. And you'll explain their lives, you'll tell me the where they came from, what education they get, what it is and everything. And when you're telling us this story, you'll tell it with love. Why? Because it's your mother. You'll tell us with love because it's your father. Yeah. And you'll have that inside you telling us about your parents, that love will be there. I mentioned the hadith earlier on, that you cannot be a true believer until you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than your parents, more than your own self, and more than everything else. So if we can say all these beautiful words about our parents, what do we say about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When we enter that dark and lonely grave, when we're questioned about this, what are we going to say? What do we know about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What do we know about how the companions used to show their obedience to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What do we know about the companions, how they used to show the love to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So it's very important for us, because we will be questioned about it. Our iman is not complete until we have this inside us. We will be questioned about it. So we need to have that ilm, we need to have that knowledge. And that knowledge is not just knowledge. It's not just like reading a biography about a personality and knowing the date of birth, where they got the education, where they got the job, where they got married, where they, you know. No, it's having that love for that person. The admiration inside is that love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is not something that you can just get by reading one book. It takes time. And that's why we have these gatherings, that over time, over years, we develop the love in our children. We get our children to recite the naats. We get our children to listen to the speeches. We get our children to give small speeches. We get our children to attend these gatherings. We have the sisters' gatherings. We celebrate it by lighting up the house. And that's showing our children that this is why we're doing this. When they ask us, that my mother, my father, why we're lighting up the whole house, we're lighting it up because we're celebrating the best of creation. And automatically that child will think, you know, wow, you know, we're doing this because of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will develop the love inside him. So all of these things are there for us to develop that love, and it's very important that that tree of love needs to be nurtured. That tree of love needs to be fed. That tree of love needs to be looked after. That tree of love needs to be maintained. And that tree of love should never, you should never say, you can never say that a tree has grown to its maximum. You know when a tree grows and you say, oh, it's never going to grow more than this. You cannot say that. Love has no boundaries. You cannot say, oh, I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I need to. No, you don't. There is no boundaries for love. And when we understand that there's no boundaries for love, then we can strive to love even more. And if you look at the companions, you look at how they showed their love, then inshallah, we can develop that love inside us. And we come to know, viewers of the channel, from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is the ideal role model for us. Thus, viewers of Mother Channel, as a Muslim, it is compulsory for us to obey and follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all matters of our life by strictly acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm going to give you two hadiths. He's reported to have said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the one who obeyed my commandment, listen to this, the one who obeyed my commandment had entered into paradise. And the one who disobeyed me has become the one who denies. Allahu Akbar. I'm going to read that again because there's a saying in English, the penny as the penny dropped. Have we really understood? The one who obeyed my commandment has entered into paradise. And the one who disobeyed me has become the one who denies. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have said that none amongst you can become a perfect believer until his desire becomes subservient to what I have brought. Your desire should be subservient to what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought. So if you desire to do something, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbidden us from doing it, then that desire, finished. That desire should be finished because now we should be following the commands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, you know, changing yourself internally and externally, you know, according to Islam, whilst obeying the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will give us numerous benefits, and we need to understand this. Therefore, viewers of Mother Chan, we should live our lives by obeying and acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after we carefully study the acts, the sayings, the manners, the biographies of the companions and see how they lived their lives, then inshallah azawajal, we can try and follow in the footsteps. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my companions, they're like stars. They are like stars. Follow them and you will never go astray. You follow the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll never go astray. Now, what did he mean by that? What did he mean by that? He meant by that they are the ones that are fulfilling the commands that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. They are the pure examples of the commands of how to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how to be obedient to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how to implement the commands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how to stay away from those things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited. And so when you study the lives of the companions, you study their sacrifices, how they lived their lives, then you will understand that these are my role models. And it's for that reason that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they are like stars. My companions are like stars. Follow any of them. Follow any of them. He didn't say, no, just follow this bunch, or just follow any of them. Because all of them are guaranteed paradise. All of the Sahaba Karam are guaranteed paradise. They are all true lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of us can ever attain the status of a Sahaba. I know we're going off topic, but we can never ever attain the status. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if my companions were to give one mud of wheat, and one mud I think is about half a kilo, give half a kilo of wheat in the way of Allah azza wa jalla, and you and anybody else was to give gold equivalent to Mount Uhud in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then what my companions have done will be greater in reward than what you have done. We can never reach their status. And because we can never reach their status, then although the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the ideal role model, the companions are those ideal role models telling us, instructing us how to follow that role model, how to follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how to love him, how to be obedient to him, and how to show that, and how to live your lives. Now remember, these companions, we all know that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a unique individual. He was a special individual. He was the mercy to all the worlds. He's the greatest of creation. But the companions, they were human beings like me and you. They had needs, they had wants, they had desires, they had loves. But how did they live their lives? As human beings, with needs, with wants, with desires, with families, with children, and all these things, how did they live their lives? And that's what we need to find out. We need to study their lives, and then we will come to know how to be obedient and love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to take a small break now. We've got a kalam of the day, inshaAllah. Let's go to the kalam of the day, and then we come back. We'll continue with this topic. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
सरकार की आमद
मरहबा
सरदार की आमद
मरहबा
दिलदार की आमद
मरहबा
सालार की आमद
मरहबा
मुख्तार की आमद
मरहबा
गंगार की आमद
मरहबा
मरहबा
जश्न है ये किस शहज़ी शान का नूर वाले साहिब कुरान का जश्न है ये किस शहज़ी शान का नूर वाले साहिब कुरान का दीवानों खुशियां मनाओ खुशी के दीप जलाओ घरों को अपने सजाओ
मरहबा आ गए सरकार गए सरकार आ गए सरकार नात पाक मुस्तफा लब पर रहे नात पाक मुस्तफा लब पर रहे है तकाजा इश्क की पहचान का है तकाजा इश्क की पहचान का
जश्न है ये किस शहज़ी शान का नूर वाले साहिब कुरान का जश्न है ये किस शहज़ी शान का नूर वाले साहिब कुरान का दीवानों खुशियां मनाओ खुशी के दीप जलाओ घरों को अपने सजाओ
सरकार आ गए सरकार आ गए सरकार आमद सुल्तान बहारोबर हुई आमद सुल्तान बहारोबर हुई रंग बदला आलम इमकान का रंग बदला आलम इमकान का
जश्न है ये किस शहज़ी शान का नूर वाले साहिब कुरान का जश्न है ये किस शहज़ी शान का नूर वाले साहिब कुरान का दीवानों खुशियां मनाओ खुशी के दीप जलाओ घरों को अपने सजाओ
सरकार आ गए सरकार आ गए सरकार सरकार की आमद
मरहबा
सरदार की आमद
मरहबा
दिलदार की आमद
मरहबा
सालार की आमद
मरहबा
मुख्तार की आमद
मरहबा
गंगार की आमद
मरहबा
साइलो मन की मुरादें मांग लो साइलो मन की मुरादें
मांग लो
साइलो मन की मुरादें मांग लो साइलो मन की मुरादें मांग लो बाबे रहमत वाहुआ रहमान का बाबे रहमत वाहुआ रहमान का
जश्न है ये किस शहज़ी शान का नूर वाले साहिब कुरान का जश्न है ये
کس شہ زیشان کا
مرحبا
نور والے صاحب قرآن کا دیوانوں خوشیاں مناؤ خوشی کے دیپ جلاؤ گھروں کو اپنے سجاؤ
مرحبا
آ گئے سرکار آ گئے سرکار
مرحبا
آ گئے سرکار در پہ پہنچ گئے سبھی شاہ و گدا در پہ پہنچ گئے سبھی شاہ و گدا صدقہ لینے سید و سلطان کا
مرحبا
صدقہ لینے سید و سلطان کا
مرحبا
جشن ہے یہ کس شہ زیشان کا
مرحبا
نور والے صاحب قرآن کا
مرحبا
جشن ہے یہ کس شہ زیشان کا
مرحبا
نور والے صاحب قرآن کا دیوانوں خوشیاں مناؤ خوشی کے دیپ جلاؤ گھروں کو اپنے سجاؤ
مرحبا
آ گئے سرکار مل گئی گوہر کو دولت نعت کی مل گئی گوہر کو دولت نعت کی حق ادا کیوں کر ہو اس احسان کا
مرحبا
حق ادا کیوں کر ہو اس احسان کا
مرحبا
جشن ہے یہ کس شہ زیشان کا
مرحبا
نور والے صاحب قرآن کا
مرحبا
جشن ہے یہ کس شہ زیشان کا
مرحبا
نور والے صاحب قرآن کا دیوانوں خوشیاں مناؤ خوشی کے دیپ جلاؤ گھروں کو اپنے سجاؤ
مرحبا
آ گئے سرکار سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
سردار کی آمد
مرحبا
دلدار کی آمد
مرحبا
سالار کی آمد
مرحبا
مختار کی آمد
مرحبا
غمخوار کی آمد
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah, another beautiful kalam. And like I said, we should be playing these kalams in our houses, in our cars, to our children, explaining them to them, you know, the meaning of the kalam. If we can't understand the meaning, then there are books available that you can find out what these kalams mean. And try and explain these, because all of these kalams are filled with love. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat in his Hadaki Bakshis, every one of the poems, every one of the poetry that he wrote, every line is about love, about the loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but loving everything that's attached to him, loving everything that he did, loving everything everywhere he went, loving the city of Medina, and loving those acts, those things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself did. And whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, the true lovers would try and copy it to whatever extent. And I'm just going to give you an example. Is narrated that Sayyidina Umm Darda radiyallahu ta'ala said that whenever Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala would speak, he would smile. He would smile all the time. I humbly said to him, leave this habit. Otherwise, people will start thinking that you're insane because he's always smiling. He's always smiling, he's talking all the time, and he's smiling all the time. And so she said to him, that look, people will think you're insane that you're smiling all the time. And he said that whenever I saw or heard the beloved sallallahu ta'ala wasallam speaking, the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam would always smile. Hence, with the intention of acting upon this sunnah, I also do so. There's so much in that, isn't there? One, we learn that smiling is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. We also have been informed by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam that it's a sadqah. And you know, we also find from this particular hadith that the companions, they were not afraid of what people will think. You know, He was told that if you carry on like this, smiling all the time, people will think you're insane. People will think you're silly. Not bothered. Not bothered at all. I don't care. I don't care what people will think. I don't care if people think, well, I'm insane. All I know is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and I will smile. Apply that to ourselves. What will people think? They'll start calling me a Mulana. They'll start calling me a Mulvi. They'll start thinking I got very religious all of a sudden if I grow a beard. Oh, we don't want that, do we? Well, why not? What's wrong with being called Mulana? What's being called with being called a Mulvi? What's wrong with being called religious? Here we've got a companion that they were afraid he would be called insane. Yeah? And he didn't refrain. And we're afraid that people will say, oh, you got religious all of a sudden. Yeah. And you see, this is another thing, that this shaitanic whisper that we have, that we think that because of our past, we cannot be pious today, or we cannot try to be pious today. This is not true. This is not true. I remember once, somebody had passed away. Someone's father had passed away, and I went to the house. Now, this person had been to his house a few times before, and I tried to invite him to the masjid, tried to invite him to the ishtama. He wasn't interested. He wasn't interested, and he was interested in gym. He was interested in other things. He wanted to talk about everything else, but he wasn't interested in coming to the masjid. So I went to his house to do taziyah, to do afsos that his father had passed away. And as we were sat there, he said to me that I saw my father. I lowered my father into that dark and lonely grave. I want to change. I want to become pious. I want to change my life. And I was thinking, shukr, alhamdulillah, that, you know, this has had a change in his life. And he says to me, I want to become like you, brothers. When I become pious, he said, when I become pious, I'm going to grow a beard. When I become pious, I'm going to wear an imam sharif. So I said to him, brother, can you define piety? Can you draw a line and say to me that up to this point, I'm not pious, and from this point, I'm pious? Where is that line? At what point are we going to agree amongst ourselves that you can consider yourself pious, and at that point you'll start growing a beard? And he looked at me and he says, so that means I can grow a beard now? Is that what you're saying? Does that mean I can wear an imamah sharif now? I said, of course. You know, there's no like entry club, entry, you know, requirements that, oh, you've got to pass this exam before you can grow a beard, or you've got to do this before you can have an imamahship. That's not true. Yeah, so we should not be held back by this shaitanic thought, this shaitanic whisper that, look, you know, because you've not a pious life, you're not a pious person, you can't grow a beard, you're not a pious person, you can't do this. Why not? This will change you. Following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will change you. Because you're adopting the sunnah, because you follow these sunnahs, like smiling, like the other sunnahs where grinding the beard, all of these sunnahs, because of these, it will make that change inside you. And inshallah, you'll go towards piety. But nobody can say, I am pious, full stop. Nobody can say that. So there's no definition. Well, there's definitions, but what I'm saying to you is there's no like starting point that you can say, I've achieved my piety. Nobody can say, I am pious now. Everybody should be on a mission all their lives to attain piety, achieve piety. What is piety? Piety, simply defined, is to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal by fulfilling His commands and obeying His beloved Rasul, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is our mission in life. Our mission in life is to achieve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our mission in life is to achieve this by following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal and following the commands of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So never have this mindset that, look, I'm not pious, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, you know. This should not be in our mind. And again, before we go to the next package, the rest of us, if someone changes, if someone makes a change in their life, then we again should not hold their past against them. I remember once many, many years ago, and it still hurts me to this day, I still feel for this event that happened, and it maybe happened maybe 20 years ago. I did a speech once on a radio station about drugs, intoxicants. And we had a lot of people calling in afterwards. Some people were saying that, you know, this issue doesn't happen because, You know, this issue of drugs has become very prevalent in the last 15, 20 years ago. But 20 years ago, it was there, but it wasn't as bad. So we started talking about it then. Unfortunately, a lot of scholars don't even talk about it today, but alhamdulillah, the Islam has always been talking about it. 20 years ago, I did this speech. A few weeks later, a letter was delivered to the radio station in my name, and the radio station said to me, letters come in your name. So I went there, and on the back of the letter, there was no address. But in the letter, the person said that I listened to your speech, and I decided to clean myself up. I'd been on drugs, I'd been selling drugs, and I'd been taking drugs as well. I cleaned myself up, I stopped taking drugs, and I made an intention to start going to the masjid. I went to the masjid, and when I went inside the masjid, the way the people looked at me, the dirty looks that I had, the things that they said to me, brother, I am sorry, but I'm never going back to the masjid again. No address, no phone number. And to this day, you know, it haunts me and I think about it that because of the acts of certain individuals who are judging people's past, that person has stopped going to the masjid. You know, if a person walks into your masjid and he is the biggest gangster of the town, he's the biggest drug dealer of the town, he's the biggest adulterer of the town, welcome him. Do shukr that ya Allah, he's Allah, you know, Allah's given him the ability to come here. Welcome him. You know, it's taken a lot of courage for this person that's lived a life of sin to come to the masjid, and you by looking at him, you by saying something to him, you pushed him away. Call him into the masjid. Welcome him into the masjid. Make him feel special. Make him feel part of the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. MashaAllah, you come, mashaAllah, come here, brother, mashaAllah, mashaAllah. After namaz, come to my house, let's have a cup of tea. How are you doing? How's family? Not seen you for a long time, mashaAllah. Everything okay? Instead of, what's he doing? Yeah. That person's not going to feel welcome. So again, do not hold. Remember this, a beautiful saying I've heard many, many times, and I've said it many, many times. Hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. We hate the sins that them people are committing. We hate the sins that person has committed that's walked into our masjid. But we don't hate him. Hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. Welcome all of these people. Welcome all of the sinners into the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Who are you to decide who can and who cannot come into the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Welcome all into the house and hope that they repent. Because who knows, on the day of judgment, they may please Allah Azza wa Jalla more than you. So viewers of the channel, please bear this in mind. We're going to go to the package now. We've got one package. Time is again, once again, against us. Let's go to the final package of the day. And then when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. Let's go to the final package. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath in Surah Al-Balad. And that oath that he takes is upon the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. He jalla wa ala states, La uqsimu bihadha al-Balad. I take an oath upon this city. Why do you think the creator, the nourisher, the sustainer takes an oath upon the city of Makkah? Is it because the Kaaba Musharrafah is there? Is it because Maqamu Ibrahim is there? Or because Mizab-i Rahmat is there? The answer is no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions thereafter why he takes an oath upon the blessed city of Makkah Mukarrama. He says, وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ, that the reason for me to take an oath upon the city of Makkah is, وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ, O beloved, you are residing in this city. Now think about it, dear viewers. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the cause of this oath, then imagine the greatness of his personality. That he subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath upon the city because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival there and because he took up residence in that city. Now just think, such a great honor for us to be ummatis of that Prophet alaihi salam. If it wasn't for whom, the world wouldn't have been created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath upon the city of Makkah because the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is residing there. He was born there. He grew up there. He took residence in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Subhanallah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of the channel, again, another beautiful package there for us with regards to following and obeying the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Viewers of the channel, again, you know, loving the Prophet of Allah, obeying the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time, you know, we've only got 8 minutes left of this program. And there's so much I wanted to say to you. I'm going to finish with some of the sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to the commands, the excellences of, you know, of some of the sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's telling us what to do. And I'm hoping that when we listen to these, that inshallah we'll try and act upon them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the most favorite act to Allah azza wa jal is to offer salah on its stipulated time and to be dutiful and good to your parents. This is a command. A command from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he is telling us that the most favorite act to Allah azza wa jal is to read your namaz on time, read it in the stipulated time, and fulfill the duties and be good to your parents. You cannot just fulfill one part of it and the other part. No, you need to respect your parents. And again, a whole topic we can talk about this. But just briefly to say that your parents, no matter what, you know, a lot of people say, oh, my parents, they came back from there. They were from a different time. They lived in a village. They did this. They don't understand me. My parents don't understand me. They came from a different time. They had a different lifestyle. They don't understand me. Doesn't matter. They don't understand you. I'll agree with you. They don't understand you. Does not give you any authority to disrespect your parents. They don't understand any of the problems that you're facing. They do not understand anything that you're going through. They do not understand any of the pain that you're facing. Doesn't matter. Does not give you authority to disrespect them. And we are told here that we need to be dutiful and be good to our parents. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most favorite act to Allah azza wa jalla after the faraiz, listen to this, after the faraiz, and we know how important the faraiz is, after the faraiz is to enter happiness into the heart of an Islamic brother. Allahu Akbar. The favorite act of Allah azza wa jalla after the farz, after the faraiz, namaz, roza, you know, fasting, zakat, hajj, all of these things that are farz upon us, after that, what is the most favorite act? Entering happiness into the heart of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most favorite house to Allah, the most favorite house, which is the most favorite house, is the one in which an orphan is treated with respect. Allahu Akbar. No one can offer better benefit to his Muslim brother than if he receives something good, then he also gives it to his brother as well. That you share good with your brother. Nowadays we get something good, we don't want anybody to know about it. We found an opportunity, I don't want anybody to know about it. You know, we receive something good, share with your brothers. You know, and this is what we need to do. We need to be sharing with our brothers and showing that love and compassion. This is what the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all about. In another hadith, very important, keep holding your tongue except for good things. This way you will overcome shaitan. Allahu Akbar. Very simple. Seems very simple, but it's very hard. You know, if you say that only speak good, if with this tongue I was to only speak good, full stop, it'd be very hard. And you see people of the past that what they would do, they would pause. They would speak like this because they were examining every single word. That is this word beneficial? Am I doing anything wrong? Am I saying anything wrong? If there is no benefit in saying this, why say it? So again, do we do this? And we're told here that if you hold your tongue except for good things, this way you will overcome shaitan. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also reported to have said, the perfect one amongst the believers, the perfect one amongst the mu'mins is the one who is best in manners amongst them. The one who is best amongst you is the one who is the best in manners amongst them. And the best person amongst you is the one who is better in the manners of his family members. Nowadays what happens is, we have good manners outside, we meet people very nice, we're kind, we're gentle, we're respectful, we talk nicely to them. Then when we come home, our families are scared of us. You know, our children run up to the bedrooms and hide from us. Our wife is worried, what's he going to say today? What's he going to get angry about today? What's he going to criticize me about today? And yet outside you're kind and gentle, you're nice outside, but inside the house you're such a person that everyone's scared of you? That is wrong. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best amongst you is the best person amongst you is the one who is better in the manner of family matters. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, another beautiful thing, the one who sees any fault of his brother and he conceals it. You know, we all see people make mistakes. If you see a fault of your brother and you conceal it, Allah azza wa jalla will make him enter paradise by virtue of concealing that fault. Allahu Akbar. Not as a result of the good deed that I performed, but as a result that you see somebody making some mistake, you see someone committing a sin, but you conceal it. You don't go and tell everybody, oh, do you know that brother, he was doing this. Oh, do you know that was happening over there? This is happening. You conceal that, and as a result of that, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will enter paradise on the basis of concealing that fault. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who suffered a physical or a financial trouble and then concealed it and did not reveal it to the people, then it is upon the mercy of Allah azza wa jal to forgive him. You know, nowadays what happens is we have a little problem, a little bit of a headache, we start complaining, our business goes down, we start complaining. All of these, we complain to, oh, my house, oh, my business, oh, this has happened, oh, the gas bill's gone expensive now, oh, I had this bill through the post, oh, my insurance has gone really high now, oh, this problem, that problem. We tell everybody our problems. You know, these people are not going to solve your problems. You know, your council tax bill has gone up, they're not going to pay your council tax bill for you. Your utility bill has gone expensive, they're not going to pay it for you. Petrol's gone expensive, they're not going to put petrol in your car. This is not going to happen. So rather than you complaining about it, do patience and sabr and sort it out. Same with all of the other difficulties. Sort out your problems. You know, the person, the one that can solve all your problems is your Rabb. So raise your hands, Ya Rabb, I'm struggling. Ya Rabb, help me. Ya Rabb, save me. And inshaAllah, that day will come. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are two such people upon whom Allah will not have mercy on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. The one who breaks ties with his relatives and the one who is a bad neighbor. The one who breaks ties with his relatives. Again, a whole topic. That we break ties with our relatives over little things. Oh, they didn't invite me to the wedding. Oh, they didn't consider my child when they were getting married. Oh, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. They went here, they went there. And over these little things, we break ties with our families. And yet, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later, when that same relative dies, you're sitting there crying. Why? Forgive them. Learn to forgive people. Learn to forgive your family. We all make mistakes. Have I not made mistakes? Have you not made mistakes? We all make mistakes. Forgive each other. Forgive each other and forget each other. And be a good neighbor. In the hadith, we're told about being a good neighbor. Look out for your neighbor. Look out for your neighbor and care for your neighbor. There are many, many sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can continue this all day and all night. And for this views of the channel, we need to go away. Time does not permit me. We're coming to the end of the program. Time does not permit me now, but we need to learn more. We need to acquire this knowledge of the deen. We need to acquire how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived his life. What did he do? What did he not do? What did he tell us to do? What did he tell us not to do? And inshallah, when we learn them things and we develop the love inside us, we develop the obedience inside us, then inshallah, viewers of the channel, you'll be successful in this dunya, you'll be successful in the grave, and you'll be successful in the afterlife as well. Inshallah, until the next program of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, inshallah, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.